Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome. This is Donna Sebo. So delighted you're able to join us today for an hour of mind power. And that is what we are going to be focusing on, but especially for you gals out there. Woman power. Yahoo! That's what we want. I've got a wonderful guest today, Amy Ahlers, and she has put together a very interesting book. The title of it is Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves. You may think, I wonder what that is. I don't lie to myself. Well, let's talk to Amy because we're going to be finding out some perspectives that she has developed from being a life coach. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a joy and pleasure to be here, Donna, and hello to everyone out there.
Now, Amy, I have to chuckle because you are a co-creator of Inner Mean Girl Reform School.
Yes.
And I love that. Now, how did that one come to pass, and why did you title it that way, as if I couldn't figure that one out? But why did you decide to do it?
Well, I have an amazing partner at Inner Mean Girl Reform School, Christina Rilo, and she and I got together. We're both coaches here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And we ended up really being matched up together because her assistant was doing some research, and we started talking about the big fat lies and the inner critics in our inside our heads and inside our hearts that were robbing us of joy, and especially for all of our clients. And so we decided, you know what? There's all this talk about the mean girls in the hallways and in the boardrooms, but we don't talk about the inner mean girl, and that is truly what we've found over and over again to be the worst enemy that we have as women. And guys out there, your inner bully is not doing you any favors either.
Don't you find that this is something that has a lot of social overtones, there's cultural components, there's so many elements that go into this negative self-talk. And when you go back in history, where there has been a demeanor forwarded by organizations and groups that were primarily male-dominated, my goodness, the women in America and in some other parts of the world, but very small sections in the world, really have had to fight hard to get to this positioning of what we consider being able to stand on equal ground. But so many women in the world today are absolutely unaware of the factors of self-respect and having good self-esteem, and that they can make a difference and they can bring in changes. Why did this become so important to you, Amy? What is your personal story?
Well, you know, I love everything that you've said, and I always say that the most important person in your life is you. And the we have some nice guitar music to just tell us that that is true. I love having the serenade come in to say yes, that's right. That's perfect. But it's true. You know, the only person that you know is going to be there your whole life, from your very first breath to your very last breath, is you. And yet we don't spend the time nurturing a self-loving and self-compassionate relationship with ourselves the way that we try to or hope to in our friendships, in our relationships, in our marriages, in our relationships with our children. And so this became a real wake-up call for me, which is why they call me the wake-up call coach, and my company is Wake Up Call Coaching, because I had a wake-up call about this for myself as well as with my clients. I started coaching back in 2000, so it's going on 12 years now. And I found over the years that it didn't matter how successful or beautiful or thin or rich a person was, on some level they were being way too hard on themselves. And I would sit down with a client that was in one situation where seemingly had it all, the house, the car, the material things, a great job, a great relationship, all of these things. But yet that inner critic, that inner mean girl was beating her up so much that she wasn't happy. And then I would sit down and coach a client that didn't have any of those outside external circumstances put together, was really struggling in their career or really broke financially. And I would realize it just, none of that seemed to matter. It had little to do with our external circumstances. And so the core of my work has been about those internal circumstances. And that's really where the juice has been for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that part of becoming a woman is recognizing that you are one of a kind. And even though there's a lot of other women around, you are unique in your own special way. That's a real tough one because so frequently we're taught by persons around us socially or another way, well, you don't look like so-and-so, or gee whiz, you're not as smart as this one, or my goodness, why can't you do such and such? They do it so well. I mean, I've heard all of this stuff. I mean, and it doesn't stop. There is this that goes on and on. So really coming to the term of loving the self, which sounds so narcissistic to some people's ears, but it is appreciating who you are, what you can offer, and just delight in whatever anybody else is able to do. I mean, I think it's fabulous if a woman can keep 17 windows in her house absolutely twinkling, sparkling, clean. Am I going to be concerned? No. I'll pay her maybe to come over to mine and take care of my 35. Of course, I'm exaggerating here, but you get my drift. I really think that that is so, we just get so wound up in that instead of just saying, you know, I really am okay in my own skin. And what I like, Amy, about your book is that you want this to happen, not when somebody's 72 years old to have this big aha. You'd like for them to get it younger in life.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. I mean, I have a four-year-old little girl, Annabella, who really became a big motivator for me in my life personally as I was going through doing this work with myself. Because, of course, I teach what I most want to learn. And, you know, I always believe whatever you write about, you know, be really mindful of it because it means that you're putting that energy out into the world and it means it will come back to you. So when I was editing my book and launching my book, I felt like I was reliving every single one of the 59 big fat lies that are in my book. And for those of you out there listening, the book has 59 big fat lies. They're divided up into different sections, whether it's about your worth or about your body and self-care or authenticity or money or success. And then each of the lies has a corresponding truth, a coaching challenge exercise, a really tangible tool for you to use, and then an affirmation and an inspiring quote. And for me, you know, I'm interested. My daughter right now at 4 years old, you know, she looks in the mirror with wonder and is just like makes these faces. And I say, you are so beautiful inside and out. And she goes, I know, Mommy. And it's not narcissistic at all. It's not egotistical at all. It's coming from the purity of her loving herself. And I'm interested in that. How can we make it so that that doesn't go away? Mm-hmm. Because I know when we are filled with self-love and self-compassion, we then can be so compassionate and loving with others in our lives as well.
Let's talk about some of these lies. Let's take one of them and say, I can't ask for help or support unless I'm in crisis.
Ah, yes.
Boy, women are really good at this. Guys can do it too, but we gals really work overtime. It's like, nope, suck it up, kid. That's the code of the female. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Big fat lie number 17. And, you know, that's a thing that I find that, you know, we've had so many new things put on our plates as women, and very few things taken off our plates. If you look at our history over the last 50 years, you know, we used to know exactly what we were responsible for, and now we're responsible for all of it. We're responsible for bringing in income. We're responsible for doing a lot of the child rearing, doing the majority of the housework. We have so many things on our plate. And so we can get into this mindset that we're supposed to be superwomen. We're supposed to be women that can do it all the time. And the truth is that's exhausting. And I found over and over again clients that would wait until they were in crisis to ask for help because they felt that asking for help was weak, was a sign of weakness. And mm-hmm. and I'm really advocating in this big fat lie that we make you know, having support and help in our lives as preventative care. Because when we set our lives up that way, that's when we'll be able to have enough juice left at the end of the day to take care of ourselves as well.
One of your lies, lie number 8, is I am damaged goods. I can't tell you how many women, and I even went through this when I was younger, the adage of this, sometimes there is religious beliefs that's behind it, sometimes you have appalling ignorance, it's perpetuated by certain cultural modalities, but this is so absolutely degrading to a female. Let's address this.
Yeah. I know, I say this in the book as well, but my eyes just tear up whenever I hear someone say, I am damaged goods. It, mm-hmm. It always brings to mind the piles of reject clothing at a clothing store where there's like the reject pile where there's snags and flaws and they're marked with big markers so that you know if you're buying this that you're getting something damaged. And I know that you and me and everyone listening, that you have the power to leave behind any piece of your past. Right. And that you can create a fresh start any time that you want, and you can create new people and new circumstances. And here's the thing that's so insidious about a big fat lie like this, is that if we go around believing that we're damaged goods, and our inner mean girl, our inner critics, our inner bullies have really held us captive and hostage with this lie, then what we start doing is creating circumstances in our lives where we create evidence that we are damaged goods. So we create relationships where people are going to behave as if we are damaged goods. We create situations to reinforce that belief because our unconscious mind just is going to prove that over and over and over again until we make a conscious decision to not accept that as a truth anymore.
That is so true.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing that's tricky. We have this system in our brains called the reticular activation system. And the reticular activation system is the part of the brain that determines what information is important. You can experience this right now by, let's say that we've decided for the moment that the color red is really important. Wherever you are, whether you're driving on the road, you can start kind of looking around for the red. If you're in a room, you can look for the red. And what you'll discover is it's almost like the red in the room starts popping. And it's not that the red in the room was not there before. It's just that it wasn't important information, and so we decided. Well, this is what happens with our big fat lies. This is what happens with our self-sabotaging beliefs. We say, this is important, and so then we start magnetizing evidence to prove, yes, you are damaged goods. Yes, you are unlovable, or you are not enough. Whatever that big fat lie is that's holding you back. And so the good news is we can use our reticular activation system for good in our lives. We can start saying, I am perfect just as I am. I take myself as is, and I love myself just enough. And then you'll start attracting circumstances and situations to your life where that is what you prove. And that's what I'm interested in for everyone listening. And I really encourage everyone listening to take that on. What is a belief that you really want to start ingraining and allow yourself to start collecting evidence to prove your case?
Big fat lie number 55. I have to suffer in order to grow. I was just talking with someone. She is a mature woman in her 50s. She said she'd spent the last 10 years, because she was indoctrinated with a certain religious background, that is what you're supposed to do. That's the only way you're ever going to get into heaven, is if you really suffer, you become almost martyr-like, you gnash yourself, you know, whatever it is that you're going to do. And she said it took her 10 years to break that thinking. And she said, my whole environment growing up, that was taught by the elders that I was around. And just to listen to her talk, there are so many people, male and female, that have bought into that. And how imprisoning that is, and how frightening that is. Let's talk about that. People don't have to go out there and suffer and be in pain and be in misery. You can be totally responsible and have a rich life, but not have to go that route.
Yeah, Yeah, I think it really is, it becomes an addiction. And it's an addiction that we don't talk about often, but it really can be addictive to become addicted to suffering. And I love the quote here from, actually, I don't know how to pronounce the name, Thich Nhat Hanh, who's a Buddhist monk, who says, people have a hard time letting go of their suffering. Out of a fear of the unknown, they prefer suffering that is familiar.
Oh, that is so true. I've encountered that so many times as a counselor with people.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
It is amazing.
Absolutely amazing. They hang on to it like a possession. You have a woman you talk about relative to this, and her being addicted. Her name was Betty. Let's hear her story and hear how she rectified the situation.
Yeah, Betty, who, of course, that's not her real name, but she was a very interesting client of mine. She grew up in a strict Irish Catholic family, and she was really taught that suffering was the key to the kingdom of heaven. And so she felt like anything that felt good was really the devil's playground, so to speak. And so she spent her life creating suffering and scarcity and rigidity. And it really became her spiritual crack pipe in a way, which I know is kind of blasphemous to say, but it really did feel like that. She felt like she needed the drama and the chaos of suffering to create deep meaning and growth in her life and thus feel close to the divine. And so she was really finally ready to step out of the trap. And so she began to collect evidence of how she also felt the presence of source energy or God or the universe or whatever term works for any of you listening. During the happiest moments of her life, when she was falling in love, when she experienced the joy of childbirth, when she sang her heart out at church, and she began to accept joy and happiness as a teacher in her life, and she started to release that addiction to the pain and suffering and instilled and nurtured in herself and her children, which was really her breaking that cycle, that joy is the kingdom of heaven, that joy is the way to the kingdom of heaven. And it's really a beautiful thing when you think about it, that don't we believe, and I'm sure most of your listeners out there would agree with this, that God wants us to be happy, that the universe wants us to be happy, that there's nothing more expressive of source energy than feeling passionate and enthusiasm and joy. And so this was so beautiful. Betty actually presented me in our last session together with a link to a video of her joyfully singing a solo in her band at church. And she had a beautiful new dress on, which were two things that she would have never let herself have in her past. And so it was a really beautiful, beautiful thing. And so I encourage everyone to start collecting evidence about what your deepest experiences of joy today and how you can further correlate joyful and abundant times with spiritual connection.
Let's talk about energy vampires. Your big fat lie, number 45. Of course, those of you listening, you can tell I'm bouncing around because she has 59 big fat lies in her book. But big fat lie 45 is, I have the power to save or fix another person. Now, with women, this is a biggie.
Yeah,
and I have played this role. I can remember playing this role, and I have yet to meet a woman that has not in one level or another. When you mature, you realize this isn't going to work. You can't change anybody else. The individual has to be willing to do this on their own. But as mothers, we have children. We figure we can control them. We've got to be able to dictate to them. They've got to follow us. All anybody that has kids is going to say, I'm sorry, that doesn't work either. So let's address this, because we may have some women listening at this time, and maybe even some men that have this kind of an attitude. How do you make the shift? What do you do so that you don't try to own, dominate, fix, correct? You're getting off of that hamster wheel of going nowhere.
Yeah. Well, I think that, I can definitely relate to this big fat lie, and I've definitely had this in my life, and I think a lot of people that are attracted to coaching and to being therapists and to being of service to other people often can fall into the trap of thinking that they can save or fix another person because of their just sheer desire to help people. And so oftentimes, you know, if anyone out there is believing this big fat lie that you have the power to save or fix another person, I know that oftentimes it's coming from a truly well-meaning place. So as we approach this, let's approach it with real compassion for ourselves. And, you know, there are people that are going to be resistant to your inspiration and joy. And as you said, energy vampires. I know that when you're a person that likes to help people, you can actually become a magnet for energy vampires. And that is one of those things that you need to start getting out of the trap of. And so what I would encourage you to do is to actually identify the energy vampires in your life and really looking at who are the people in your life that you constantly want to save or fix. You know, is it your mother? Is it your friend from high school? Is it a child of yours? Really getting clean and clear and honest. And I really invite anyone listening to make that list and to write it down. And then to also look at who expects you to save them, who expects you to fix them. It's a codependent, enabling relationship where we can get ourselves into, where they have been the expectation that we're going to fix everything, and we then go in and try to fix everything. And there's a way in which those two pieces of the puzzle fit in beautifully together. So really looking at that. And I say make the decision to either shift the saving energy you carry into inspiring energy when you're around this person, or cut the people out of your life, which I know sounds really harsh, but sometimes that can be the case. I know for me, when I became a mom, there was a lot of friendships. I noticed a lot of friendships that I have that disappeared and melted into the background, and almost all of them were the energy vampires in my life. Because I just didn't have the capacity anymore. And so that was really something that was very interesting to me. And I think people will find this, you know, you get a new job and you have, you know, you have a transition, you find a new love of your life, what have you, and there's going to be certain energy vampires that can't handle your energy being placed elsewhere. And that's a real red flag. And I think that there is such a difference between trying to save someone and that sort of energy that goes into it versus the energy of wanting to inspire someone else. Mm-hmm. And that inspiration and wanting to inspire someone else is when you're doing your thing and you're lighting the way, so to speak. You're leading them to the well, but you're not expecting that you can make someone else drink, because you cannot. And so really very shifting true. From saving to inspiring.
Then big fat lie number 4, I should have known better, or I should have done things differently. I can recall a particular event in my life that happened to me in my teens. I carried that around. Oh, my goodness. I was beating myself up over it until I was in my early 30s. Now, anybody listening to this would say, you're kidding, Donna. You did that? Hey, I'm part of the human race. I do dumb things, too. And I was amazed. I thought I had really resolved it until the particular person that this was about, I happened to meet them someplace, and I went, why did I hang on to that for so long? Mm. It caused me so much anxiety. Mm. This thing with guilt, or if I had done something differently, or I am a very, very bad person because I broke a rule, and now, you know, everybody, if everybody finds out about what happened to me, gee whiz, I should have been different. I shouldn't have made that mistake. I don't know of anybody, that has not gone through that in some way, shape, or form. Yeah. How can someone, if they're carrying this guilt, because that really, to me, is what it represents, gee whiz, if I'd been stronger, I could have done it this way. I knew better, but I didn't do it. I did something the opposite. I mean, you can make something that's microscopic into a gigantic tsunami of misery.
Yeah.
What would you recommend?
Yeah, well, I really like when the should word comes up, and I always like the expression, let's not should on ourselves, because I just think that's funny. But, you know, it really is. I find that it is like we're playing this comparison game with our present-day self and some perfect self that is doing things substantially better than our actual self. And so it's like, we act as if there's this other version of us that did it perfectly, and then there's the real version of us, and our actual self is doing the best that she can, and there is only ourselves who has made the mistakes that we have made and who has even some senses of regret. And so getting out of that perfect self versus actual self game is a real way out of it. And so I encourage you to make a list of all the shoulds that you've been putting on yourself. Make a list of the places where you feel like you should have known better, you should have done better. And then really notice how these shoulds are holding you back. And just even notice how good it feels to come clean with your should list. And then work on forgiving and acknowledging your real and present day self. So really looking at, when you look at a past, if you're feeling that sense of guilt, really looking at, what did I learn from that situation? What did I learn from that scenario that's made me a better person today? And recognizing that there are no mistakes. There is no other version of you that did it better. There's just you here in this moment. And I think acknowledging it, acknowledging that you're playing that game with yourself, is such a beautiful way into the forgiveness process when we have done things that where we feel like we should have known better. And I always love the quote that Oprah talks about with Maya Angelou, where is, you know, if you would have known better, you would have done better. And that is just the truth. And I believe that for each and every one of us. And so really taking those things as lessons to help propel you forward is really the best case scenario for you.
Another side of that, too, that I think I would like to add to is that we do not grow through perfection.
We grow
through the desire, perhaps, to attain perfection, but life is never a straight line. You're going to have your bumps, your grinds, your pimples. You're going to have all kinds of things that are going to affect you that you may not even want to attract into your life or even imagine could be attracted into your life. And part of that is making mistakes and going through experiences and then growing and saying, I can take this and make it something that's going to work for me and not against me. And I really think that that is very empowering. I was with someone today, and they're going through some very, very difficult shifts in their life. A couple of members of their family, extremely ill, they may be passing away. So you have all of this stuff going on, and yet this person really is not afraid to share that reality with people, not with everybody. She doesn't have a sign on her back saying, feel sorry for me. That's not who she is. But she is open about it. She's not afraid to talk about it if somebody asks. And that really helps empower her because of the support she gets for people that say, well, just know that I'm here. If you need me, give me a call. I'm available just to let you talk about whatever your concerns might be. And I just think that we have to understand that life is a living experience. We're not here like the puppets, you know, on Sesame Street. That's not who we are. And the only way we can grow is through living.
That is absolutely right. That is absolutely right. And I think when we, you know, when you think about it, and I often will do this meditation with clients and visualization with clients, and maybe do we have a quick moment here for me to just
do
a quick 1 minute?
Mm-hmm.
Great. I know we're starting to count down here on the time, but I'll just invite everyone, as long as you're not driving, of course, to go ahead and just close your eyes and just take a deep breath. And just imagine that you are sitting across from you, that you're looking into your own eyes. And just notice for a moment, as you look into your own eyes, notice what isn't working in your life. Notice the disappointments, the failures, or the regrets, or the guilt. Notice also now, as you look into your own eyes, the things that are working in your life, the joys, the successes, the things that you're really proud of. And just imagine, as you sit across from yourself looking into your own eyes, just say, I forgive you, and fill in the blank. What is it that you're ready to forgive yourself for? And then say, I am so proud of you. For, and fill in the blank. What are you really proud of yourself for? And then just remembering that at any moment you can look into your own eyes, you can even do this in front of the mirror, and just allowing yourself to remember that you are your own best friend. and just end your conversation with yourself with saying, I've got your back.
That's
when you're ready, open your eyes. Yeah.
Very nice. Mm. Amy Ahlers is my guest today. You can go to her website, Wake Up Call Coach, wakeupcallcoach.com, BigFatLiesBook.com, BigFatLiesBook.com. Amy, it's been a delight having you as a guest. I think your book has got a number of very positive suggestions. I wish you the best, especially with your School of the Inner Mean Girl Reform.
Thank you so much.
I know you will enjoy it, and it will continue to grow. Have a fabulous life, and thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you so much.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open if you'd like to give me a call. Let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I came across this one little bit of trivia that I thought was so cool. Do you know the weight of the world's largest chocolate bar and who created it? Well, imagine 12,290 pounds of lip-smacking chocolate. It was created by the world's finest chocolate company, and this chocolate bar measures 21 feet long and 3 feet high. Hoo-wee, would that make someone happy for a long time? I just thought that was a neat bit of trivia, and it brought to mind a very dear friend of mine many years ago. She was celebrating some kind of an anniversary where she worked, and she was working at a station up in Anchorage, Alaska. Her name was Norma. Somehow or another, the staff at the radio station found a place where they were able to get a super-sized Hershey bar. Now, Norma stood 5'7". When they took a picture of her holding this Hershey bar, it had to be about 2 to 3 feet in length and about a foot and a half wide. I don't know where they found this thing. And they got a picture of her taking a bite out of it. I have never seen another one like it. So when I came across that quote, I went, oh, my goodness, you mean there was something bigger than the bar that Norma got so many years ago? Tomorrow we're going to be talking about exposed, uncovered, and declassified information regarding lost civilizations and secrets of the past. Micah Hanks is going to be our guest tomorrow. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about Naked in the Nursing Home with Harold Lustig. And those are things that I think are interesting. And if you want to find out more about the guests that are coming up on the show, go touch the button that says Show Information, and you'll be able to find out more about the guests that are coming up on the Donna Sebo Show. I don't know about you, but working with lights, I happened to be in a box store, and I was walking up and down some aisles doing some shopping, and I happened to go by the section that had a bunch of light bulbs on display, and I was fascinated with some comments that I was hearing a particular salesperson talking about LED lights and how much they had improved and how they had been having a lot of problems with bulbs being turned back in because they weren't operating correctly. And she was discussing this with a customer, but she said they're really going to be fabulous. They truly are energy saving, and they have developed all kinds of changes with the bulbs. And one day you're going to find, probably within less than 5 years, that the price not only is going to be very economical, but they are going to literally last far beyond what anybody imagines at this time. And they'll be mercury-free. They also are going to be exceedingly bright. Well, I know through the years, especially living up in the Pacific Northwest, that I have really become a fan of full-spectrum lighting. We have very dark days, and here in the Seattle area, it's often overcast and very, very uncomfortable when you don't have a lot of sunshine, which is typical for this area. And as I've matured, that seems to be more and more significant due to hormonal changes in the body. And I've talked about this with a number of people through the years, and I know that this is something that affects a lot of individuals. That's why so many people who live in the far northern areas like to go south so that they're in sunshine and, of course, warmer temperatures, but really it's the sun. They often say, I don't mind being in the cold, because a lot of them become, you know, snowbirds. They like to go skiing and that type of thing, but it's where they're going to have more sunlight. Even though it might be cold, they want the sun. So these are things that are evolving and changing, and they are changing pretty quickly. But the prices for a lot of these bulbs sometimes can really be very, very high. And during the holidays, there I observed that there are more and more lights having the LED factor to them. But again, because it's on the newer edge, then they are substantially more expensive than the other bulbs. So this is something that, in fact, I'll give you some information here. The LED bulbs use 80% less electricity than your incandescent ones, and they are at least as efficient as what they call the compact fluorescent lights, the CFL. That's the abbreviation for them. Now, they, again, like I said, mercury-free. They have no startup delay. You can dim them, and you can even tune them for color. Now, the price of $50 a bulb makes it prohibitive for most people. I wouldn't pay $50 for a light bulb at this time, but they are saying within a short period of time, that bulb may come down to $10. Well, you can buy, you need to still think about that. It depends on your budget. But eventually, it is really going to be cost effective for us. And also, well, there's something that's coming out that I had not heard about. It's called a Music Lights LED. And this was quite fascinating to me. It screws into your standard light socket, and it has built within it a high-fidelity loudspeaker, and a separate transmitter lets you connect the speaker to a stereo receiver, a computer, a smartphone, even your television. And you can listen to music in up to 5 different places in your home or office at once. In no time, your house has this stereo effect, if you want to call it that, and you don't have to worry about getting an electrician to set it up for you. Now, the bulb speakers cost $250 a piece. You need 2 if you want that stereo effect in your home. And the transmitter and remote currently will cost about $120. And it's just amazing to me. And there was a guy who did some research on it. His name is Edward C. Begg. And he said the audio quality when he experimented with this was really very, very good. But the speakers were no substitute for a true high-end audio system. So I just thought I would share that little bit of trivia with you. Also, I wanted to share some nutritional information with you today, and if you want to give me a buzz, call me at 888-627-6008. We've all heard about how good dark chocolate is for you, but I wanted to share with you, I don't know if I've shared this story with you, I knew a gal who was in college. She was a nurse, and she was going for advanced education, and she had a professor. And this professor had spent a lot of time in South America and was really big into doing research. And this goes back a few years. And she said that her professor would tell her and all of the students in her classes, if you want to have good health, make sure you have chocolate regularly in your food planning. She had learned about the value of chocolate, nutritional value, years and years before, and this woman was in her 60s at the time. She was telling her students this, and she had learned this in her 30s, and she said, if you have a cup of hot chocolate or the equivalent of a cup of hot chocolate, and she said, just enjoy the chocolate. It's got so many nutritional benefits. Why? Well, in research today, and the professor was right, and I've never forgotten Sandy's story about that, the professor was right. In Germany, they did a study, and they said those people that ate the most dark chocolate over 10 years, one, had lower blood pressure than those who ate the least. And there was another study done that said the stress hormone in people who ate dark chocolate often was very low. And people will say, oh, well, you know, it's bad for you because it's got fat and it's got sugar. Not really. You know that during the Second World War, soldiers were given chocolate. I mean, it gave you energy, and the sugar and the fat is something that is not bad for your body, but it is, you know, if you overdose on it, obviously you're going to end up not looking the way you want. You're going to be too plump, but the truth is a little bit can go a long way, and why not have good quality chocolate? Make sure that when you buy chocolate, you buy the best you possibly can afford, because a good piece of chocolate is marvelously satisfying. Why? Because of the fat and because of the sugar. It really does make a difference, and it is not something that you should abstain from. It's something that you really need to know can be do you a lot of good. I was talking with a Marine who, when he served over in Iraq, he said he found, and of course it's very warm over there, but he said, if ever I've learned as a Marine that whenever my energy is getting low, I'm running out of steam, he said, I use chocolate. And he said, I'm back and my energy's up and I'm ready to do whatever I need to do. So I just thought I would share that with you. Also, of course, during the winter months, having your fish oils, those omega-3s, your vitamin D, all of this is so very important because the body needs it. Again, if you're in an environment and you don't have the sun, if you have sun out, even if it's cold, get out and get some of that sunshine, because your body automatically manufactures your natural vitamin D from the sun exposure, and it's healthy for you. It's not bad. Also, black tea is really good, and hey, I'm a tea drinker, have been for years. It really is something that can benefit you tremendously. And one of my favorite foods, avocados. They find that this fruit, an avocado is a fruit, it's loaded with potassium and monounsaturated fatty acids. And it's helpful to ward off depression. And so many people during the winter months get down in the dumps. The adage, you are what you eat, makes a difference. If you have these foods, you're going to have your higher energy level, and you're going to feel better, and you're going to be able to get through the winter months without that depression. So I just wanted to share that with you quickly. Also, we're going through the signs of the zodiac, and we have six more to go. So today, I'm going to be giving you the signs of Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius. And I know we're going to be going on break pretty soon, so let me just give you Libra quickly. This is a general item, astrological item for the year 2012. Wisdom comes with responsibility, and you are going to be stepping up to the plate and really taking charge, not just over your life, but also being very supportive of people. If they want your advice, if they want your counsel, you're going to give it to them straight. And you're going to find that this is a year where you really want to get things in order. And if you're really wanting to deal with money issues and you want to have success with this, face it, head on. Really get your information. Don't shy away from what you don't understand. Be willing to learn from those that maybe know more about whatever it is that you're interested in. And for achieving the dreams that you like, be around people that are going to be supportive of what it is you really want to reach for. And you're going to find that you might have to travel a little bit. Maybe you have to go to a conference or get engaged in some activities that are going to take you out of the home and out of your normal environment, bringing you in contact with people that can support the dreams that you want to achieve. Don't be afraid to step out of the box of life that maybe you have become encased within. Put a door in the wall, open it up, and let some fresh air in. When we come back after the break, we'll be talking about Scorpio and Sagittarius. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. If you want to chat, give me a call at 888-627-6008. Before I go into the astrological signs, I want to remind those of you that are listening from Western Washington, two special events are coming up. On the 21st, of January, I am going to be presenting a program along with three other women at the Ascension and Delight Foundation Center in Seattle, which is located at 1222 South Weller Street. This is a program where we're going to help you kick off the year 2000. I'll be doing some mind demonstrations, but it is really meant to empower you as a person. And adding to that empowerment is my upcoming class on Saturday, the 28th. Now, the event on the 21st, it's from 7 to 9 in the evening. On the 28th, the following week, I'm presenting my second class for Quantum Mind, Quantum Mind 2. This is going to be at the Bridgeport Place Center. You can get the address by going to my website, DelphiInternational.com. But this is a day seminar starting at 10 in the morning, going into 4 in the afternoon. Now, Robert Newman is going to be presenting the feng shui portion, and I'm going to be presenting the mind-brain connection that we're going to be working with. We have got so many aspects. We have a few spaces left. If you would like to be in this class, it's $59.95. Give me a call at my office. Send me an email. Contact me so I can put you down and register you, because we can only have 25 people in the class. It has to be limited in size so we can interact with you when you're in the class, and there's beverages and food provided. So call me at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604 for the Quantum Mind 2 class on the 28th of January. I'm really looking forward to it. I just love doing the teaching anyway. Okay, for those of you born under the sign of Scorpio, let's talk about love and relationships. You are going to find that you really have to be patient. There is an expansiveness in you that when you're ready to do something, man, let's get it out there and get it done. Scorpios are people that want to do something, they want to do it now. Patience often is not their strong suit. But it's time, this year you're really going to have to be patient, and I think with yourself as well as others. So it's very important to realize that not everybody's going to move at the same speed that you like to move, or are going to respond in the same feed patterning like you typically like to do. So realize that you are going to have a very active, intense year that you will have to deal with other people that are not necessarily going to be interested, or if they have to participate in actions with you, as excited as you are. So this is going to be a learning curve year. When it comes to money and success, you're going to have to be very disciplined. You're going to need to really look at what it's going to take for you to achieve what you want. And by the time the last quarter of the year comes around, you're going to see some results that are going to be very, very positive for you. And when it comes to working with your dreams, be sure you look at the bigger picture and then come down to the smaller things that have to be done. You don't just want to look at the big picture and wish. You want to be able to look at the big picture, realize it, it is there. You wouldn't have the dream if you weren't capable of doing it. But there is a lot of backstepping and planning so that you can work with where you are right now. Now let's get to Sagittarians. I think that you just absolutely love people. Sometimes you may have a tendency to make a commitment to individuals that really saps a lot of your energy. So you are going to need to prioritize things so that you don't find yourself overextending your time, your efforts, your energies, and everything else so that you are depleted and drained. So being discerning and discriminating and making sure that you have time for yourself is going to be very important. When it comes to money, you can pull in your financial belt really tightly if it's necessary, and this is very good because I really think you want to do something relative to financial planning this year, and you want to look at what's going to work best for you. And there may be opportunities for new job environment if that's what you want, but be prepared to make the shift. And then when it comes to attaining your dreams, believe it or not, exploring areas of environment experience that maybe you've never touched on before but have been curious about will enable you to see how you can actually achieve what you want to achieve. It's absolutely going to be a liberating year for you in so many ways. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to explore some of those areas of interest that you have, that you know can make a difference for you. It is going to be liberating. You're really breaking through some personal glass ceilings, too, those of you under the sign of Sagittarius. Well, we've got three more to go for 2000, and that's Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. So that is the last three, and we'll be talking about those tomorrow. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-627-6008. Anytime people start talking to me about young people and how they just don't understand, they just don't get the responsibilities of life, I just have to laugh. I know I have certain attitudes, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of hard-working young people that are willing to do whatever they can if adults will just give them the space to do it. They are responsible. They're participating on so many levels to the best of their capacities. And I've got some stories here about some young people that are absolutely amazing. And there are two young ladies, Allison and Jillian Samowitz. Now, they're 15 years of age, and they live in Florida. And their lives have been deeply affected by some events that have happened recently, and that is the big Gulf spill. And she said, these two girls said, we really empathized with everything that was going on and really were affected by it because we live on the beach. We're in Florida. We live on the beach. And we just became aware of how this spill affected the ecosystem. So they decided they were going to study conservation. And the more they studied it, the more they were thinking about, gee, how's everybody in our neighborhood living? She said, we're a small town. We only have about 360 homes. And when they started asking questions, now think about this, two teenage girls doing this. When they started asking questions of their neighbors, they found that only about 20% of their neighbors were doing anything with recycling. So they decided they were going to do something. They planned a town fair. They put on a demonstration about how ordinary people can make changes to the environment, why it's beneficial to do that. They talked to different companies, in fact, 12 local companies, encouraged them to join them. You know, they ended up with a crowd of about 200 people, and all kinds of information was put out there. Two teenage girls making a difference. Can you imagine the powerhouses they're going to be when they graduate from high school, college? These are doers. They found out the power of one plus one makes a difference. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Let these girls be an inspiration to you. Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at VBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.